Today's scripture reading comes from the prophecy of Jeremiah in the 31st chapter. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, "Know the Lord." For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God. About 15 years ago, a member of our congregation had a problem with his heart. The rhythm of his heartbeat wasn't quite right, and it turned out that the issue had to do with the electrical impulses that were being sent to his heart. And so he had a process called cardiac ablation, in which the cardiologist inserted a catheter through a vein in his leg and into his heart, and then used laser light to create scarring on sections of his heart, which fixed the problem. The Sunday after he returned to Plymouth, I happened to preach on this text, and he said, "I feel like that passage from Jeremiah was for me, as if I literally had something written on my heart. And only now do I know what the message was, that God's love is with me wherever I go." Of course, the heart is also a metaphor for all kinds of things, as it was in Jeremiah's day as well. I'm quite certain that Jeremiah was not expecting cardiac ablation from God. For us, the heart is metaphorically the center of feeling and emotion. So God is saying that she will inscribe her covenant at the core of our being, in the center of our feeling and emotion, so that we don't have to think so much about it. We just have a visceral remembrance, a bodily knowing of the covenant, sort of like muscle memory that becomes part of what you do. When we speak of heartstrings, we're often describing a tug on our deepest emotions or affections. We even say, "Oh, that makes my heart ache," even though it probably has nothing to do with what's going on in the organ in your chest that is pumping oxygenated blood throughout your body. I'd imagine that many of us have experienced some heartache in the wake of Carla's resignation. Clergy hold a unique relationship with our parishioners. We aren't cardiologists going in to perform a procedure and then we leave and maybe we see you for a follow-up visit. We develop ongoing relationships, especially when we're face to face. Relationships that can run deep. On my first day in Colorado, I was at the deathbed of one of our members. So those connections sometimes build fast and deep. And so it's normal to feel confusion, grief, even abandonment in the wake of a pastoral departure. But one of our staff members put it really well last week. She shared a story about being on the staff of a Presbyterian church whose senior minister left after being with the congregation for 20 years to take a similar position at a larger church. The congregation was grief-stricken and wondered what they had done wrong to bring about the pastor's departure. Our wise staff colleague told them, "She still loves us. God still loves us." It was time for her to go what's next on her journey. And don't worry, God will send us someone to guide us next. I hope you know that too. That Carla was crazy about Plymouth. And that God loves us and will send us the right person for the next step in our pilgrimage. We're also at a point in the church year that is emotionally intense. When was the last time you heard a story in Scripture that pulled at your heartstrings or made your heart ache? If you can't think of anything off the top of your head, stay tuned because Holy Week begins next Sunday. From the triumphal parade on Palm Sunday to the night of desertion and betrayal on Maundy Thursday to the desolation of the cross on Good Friday, there will be plenty of opportunity for deep feeling. And I encourage you to tune in to our Maundy Thursday service, which includes the dramatic office of Tenebrae with readings by our ministers and lay people. On Good Friday, Mark will present a noontime organ concert. And at 7, we invite you to tune in for an ecumenical Good Friday service that includes Plymouth and other mainline congregations here in Fort Collins. It's not morbid, it's moving. And if we don't live through the abandonment of Maundy Thursday and the tragedy of Good Friday, then the triumph of Easter Sunday loses its meaning. Another way we speak metaphorically about this thumping muscle in our chests is to know something by heart. Most of us know the Lord's Prayer by heart. But are there pieces of Scripture or prayers or hymns that you also know by heart? Perhaps when you were young, you learned the 23rd Psalm by heart. It's good to have memorized and to deeply know a few things by heart, to have them internalized so deeply that they are with us wherever we go. When God tells Jeremiah that he will write the law on their hearts, I imagine it means that they will know it by heart, not just through memorization, but by internalizing the new covenant in the core of their being, so that it becomes something not just that you know, but that you feel deeply. Many times when I'm celebrating communion and serving the wine, I'll offer the words, "the cup of the new covenant." And they reiterate the words of Jesus at the Last Supper. "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood." That language is covenantal and it's visceral. The lifeblood pumped by the heart, carrying oxygen to all parts of the body. The prophet Jeremiah talks about this upcoming new covenant with the Hebrew people, but it doesn't get mentioned again at all in the Hebrew Bible. But we do find the theme getting picked up by the writer of Luke's gospel and by Paul. You no doubt recall the covenant that God made with Noah, the covenant with Abraham and Sarah, the Sinai covenant or the Ten Commandments. And now we have a promise of a new covenant. But this one is less well-defined. It's not a clear mandate from God that she won't flood the earth again and wipe out humanity, or that he is going to make great nations from one family, or even provide a set of codes etched on stone tablets. God is saying through Jeremiah that this new covenant is going to be an internal agreement written on the hearts of God's people. This new covenant is going to be an inside job. Another really important idea we can derive from Jeremiah's prophecy is that God can continue to write new things on the hearts of God's people. And what if God wants to write different teachings on the hearts of different people? We hem God in and imagine a very small deity when we think that God has stopped operating in human history with Noah or Sarah or Moses or Jeremiah or even Jesus. Our God is not a small God. You and I are integral parts of God's unfolding story. We're a continuation of the stories of faith that we read about in Scripture. So what has God written on your heart? And how do you know that it's God's handwriting, not the calligraphy of your superego or a message from the culture in which we live? For me, I would ask whether there is deep congruence between what you think is written on your heart and whether it lines up with the life and the teachings of Jesus. You may find that God is calling you to go places you'd rather not be, pushing you beyond the limits of your comfort zone. I'm not an activist by nature, but for many years I've felt obliged to speak out against gun violence. And I will continue to do so, even though it undoubtedly offends some people and causes others to struggle with what I say. And especially in this week, in the wake of the shootings in Atlanta, we all need to continue to speak out against senseless violence. The way I perceive speaking for justice and peace is as something that God has written on my heart. It isn't always an action I want to take. It's something that I'm called to do. And that's what I think Jesus would be doing, and maybe is doing through us. And I will keep on praying for wisdom and discernment as I try to detect the loops and ligatures of God's handwriting. And I will continue to voice what I perceive as the way God is leading us as a people. As we walk together toward Holy Week, I would ask you to carefully consider two questions. What has God written on your heart? What has God written on your heart? And how can you tell if the handwriting is God's? In The Little Prince, Antoine de Saint-Exupéry writes, "It is only with the heart that one can see rightly." Perhaps that's why God has written a message on yours. Amen.